Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
Well, we hope you're looking forward to No Apostrophe November like Daniel Midgley is. He joins us this morning. We're very, very close. It will be Sunday.
It's a little challenge that I like to issue to people. See if you can, in your casual communication, in your personal communication, just try dropping some apostrophes. Just don't do them and see what people do. I can tell you one thing that won't happen, and that is that people won't misunderstand you. We are great at this. The reason I like to drop apostrophes is that, you know, the patterns are confusing and they've changed over the years. They're starting to disappear out of place names and other things, so get on top of it. And, you know, people, I think, use them as status markers, markers of education or privilege. And so, you know, let's just try getting rid of these unnecessary little marks and have some fun.
I know where the apostrophe goes.
that kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's after the S.
But nobody does. I mean, the rules are contradictory and evolving, which is wonderful.
I hate them.
And our topic or talkback question for you for today, are there any words that you simply failed to realize were related, even though in retrospect it's strikingly obvious?
And I gave the example of dis, which comes from dismiss. And immediately I have been dismissed by our audience for being wrong because they tell me it's disrespect, not dismiss.
The audience is correct. I love that we just keep saying stuff until we forget why we say that. And then it becomes opaque. Etymology becomes opaque, and that's lovely. I'll tell you one of mine, and I feel really dumb. Varsity. Yeah, you have sports in college that are varsity sports.
Yeah.
Does that remind you of any similar word?
University.
The two are related, and I had no idea. And everyone at home is saying, well, that's dumb. Of course they're related. Well, of course they are related. It's obvious in retrospect. I'll tell you one that isn't very obvious. A handle. Right? Why is it called a handle?
Like your nickname? Is that what you mean? Or a handle like for a jug?
I mean like, you know, you got a suitcase and that suitcase got a handle.
Because it's where you put your hand?
Handling?
Yes!
Oh!
Yes!
Oh, it's so easy.
That's why. So what's the, and then I did a little bit of digging. Oh, what's that L-E doing? What's the old doing? In Old English, it was an instrumental suffix. Started out as a diminutive, a little something. But then it means I'm using, because you use your hand to pick up a handle. And then once you know about instrumental L-E, you can find more of them. Like, for example, a thimble is something you use on your
thumb.
Yes! And then, what do you nuzzle someone with?
Your nose.
Your
yes!
Nose.
Yeah, it's all becoming clearer now.
It just goes on and on.
Yeah, right.
And look at you.
What do you gobble with?
Your gob.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. This is where these things come from. And there are lots of other things like that. For example, a spindle is something. What do you do to when you spin?
Spin it.
You spin, like you spin thread, right?
Yes.
What do you do with a ladle? Well, you laid things, but that's, you know, to carry. Like when you're heavy laden.
Right. Okay. Now you're getting hard.
Now
Marty was straight into my soup.
I'll give you another one. Do you remember checks?
Checks.
Checks, the things that you would sign, like I promise to pay.
Oh, checks. Right. Yeah. I haven't seen one of those for a while.
I know.
A bit like the $100 note, but yes, checks.
Well, you know how you used to have to, in America, they're still using them. They're way behind on this. You have to endorse them, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You turn them over, you sign your name on the back of it, and then it's good, right? Why is it endorse? What's the dorse?
Doors.
Think about sharks. What kind of fin do they have?
Dorsal.
Right. Because you sign it on the back.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all clear to me now.
That's
I've
a huge one.
I've never seen you so excited.
One more.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Don we now our gay apparel. The season is coming up. What does don mean?
Put on.
Don.
Right. To do on. That's where it comes from.
Mm.
So what does it mean when you
doff?
Yeah. See? You doff your hat. It means you do it
off. Do off. Oh, we could go for hours.
We could go for hours.
Hours.
I've got more. But I think we better get some of these questions going.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Yes, good morning. First time caller. I've been listening a long time to you know, I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
But look, I've been listening to Dr. Norman Swan, and a couple of weeks ago, he was criticized by one of his listeners about the way he pronounces, he always says COVID-19 and not COVID-19. But I don't think he's actually wrong with but I think the rest of the world is wrong, but Dr. Norman Swan seems to be right with that one.
Let's find out. Thanks, John.
Always trust the swan. That's what I say. So there are many ways that CO could be, like we have cover, so it could be covered, or you could covet something. But the co seems to, the co suffix, I mean, it's not a prefix, but it almost looks like one to us. And so that may be influencing some people saying co. And then you could have cos. So one thing we know about English spelling, it's rather ambiguous. When you see a combination of letters, you don't know how it's going to be unless it's in context. Oh, or cone text.
So are you in fact then saying both are right?
I'm saying this is an area where there is some play, and different people in different places, maybe even different social groups, different ages will do it differently.
Right, a bit of flexibility there.
Mm,
Terry's got a question. Thanks for that, John. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Words that end in Y, when you want to make them a plural, sometimes you just add an S and sometimes you change it to IES. And I just wondered if there's a rule, and I can't for the life of me think of the example that I thought of the other day to ask you.
There is a pattern, and this pattern holds up pretty well for all the words that I know. If it ends in a consonant, you know, not the vowels, A-E-I-O-U.
So empty?
Empty.
Or lolly?
Yes, then that gets an I-E-S.
Lolly becomes lollies.
However, if the letter before the Y is a vowel, then you don't. For example, days or says, that just gets an S. And I think that'll cover you for most of the cases that we've seen.
Does that tick your boxes, Terry?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
There you
go.
That's nice to have. That's a good takeaway.
You had a good question, Russell.
Yep. Mm. Well, we talked about, we were talking to somebody and they mentioned Samaritans.
Ah.
And then Good Samaritans. And I thought, where does that word come from? And if there is a Good Samaritan, is there a bad Samaritan? Is that a thing?
This question makes me really happy because I enjoy it when people don't know this one. It hasn't been part of their upbringing. So in the New Testament, in I think the book of Luke, Jesus tells the story of a traveler who gets waylaid on the road by thieves, beaten up, robbed, left for dead. And then in the story, a Jewish priest comes along and just ignores the guy. And then a Levite comes by. You know, these are the people who are the leaders in the community. They should be the most righteous people, and just ignores him. And finally, this Samaritan comes upon, a person from Samaria. Apparently, the people in Jesus' audience wouldn't have liked the Samaritans very much, thought they were, you know, posers. But the Samaritan helps the guy and is kind, so tells the story about this. So that's why we have the phrase Good Samaritan. And this joins a lot of King James Version phrases that we have in English.
Okay.
Now you know.
And so we can't really have a bad Samaritan, can you? If you're a Samaritan, you're a good one, presumably.
There was a really funny Mitchell and Webb sketch about this. So do a search for that because it's on YouTube. But the people in Jesus' audience are protesting. Hey, you're acting like having a good Samaritan is some weird anomaly. Isn't that kind of racist, Jesus? It's funny. Trust
We're me. About a minute and a half away from seven. Just a quick one. Do you know where the word cover comes from, as in someone singing someone else's song?
I don't, but I know that it comes from about the late 60s when people started talking about cover versions, covering somebody else's songs. And the only thing I can think of is in the way that a reporter covers a story, you know, talks about it or discusses it or digs into it, I guess another artist can cover another person's song. And
their
that's
version
how that works.
Of it.
Hmm.
Can we ask you quickly, where does the expression cut the mustard come from?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows that one. There's been some suggestion that it's like passing muster, and something's really good. It cuts the mustard. The only thing we know is that it comes from O. Henry, the author, and it's in the 20th century.
Beautiful work. The Midge will be back with us on Thursday. So nice to have you here again.
Bye for now.
Linguist and host of Because Language podcast.